Welcome to the Phi Life Podcast. I'm John Barbin. With me as always is Brad Pilon, and today we're going to be talking about what's your goal? Like what is it that you're doing with your body, your nutrition, your fitness, your workout, anything? And do you even know what you're doing? I guess we just finished I'm pretty sure we just finished a teleseminar.
Yep.
And it always seems, no matter what we start with, it always ends up with what's your goal?
Yes.
Like even though we're talking about like a very specific, you know, metabolic pathway and kind of function and all kinds of stuff that we started with, none of what we talked about sort of made any sense until you get down to defining a goal. And it just got us thinking about like what is the goal of exercise? What is the goal of paying any attention at all, whatever, to the food you eat or nutrition or whatever it is. And I guess this talk will be what we think about that. And I guess we're just asking you, what is your goal?
Yeah. I can tell you that from my viewpoint, most people's goal isn't what they say it is, because most people want to lose weight, right? But what they want is to look better. And I find this interesting, you know, you're assuming a connection there, but bodies are a tricky thing, man. And the Pilon household just was just ravished by about 5 days of stomach flu. And it was not a good scene. You know, little boy, little girl, both making a mess over the house. Heather got sick. I was barely holding on. And the weird thing I noticed was that, you know, during, from Friday till today, Tuesday night, I've probably eaten about 3 pieces of toast and, you know, maybe stole some Pedialyte from my kids. That's about it. So I've dropped a couple pounds, you know, mostly just being dehydrated. But I look horrible because I'm, I don't know how to describe it, bloated and sickly looking from being sick, right? So lost weight, look worse. But everybody sort of assumes a connection between if you lose weight, you look better. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even know if look better is exactly what they want, as much as it is the spoils that they perceive go along with looking better.
Oh yeah, like looking better just for the sake of, like that's not a goal in and of itself. There's no end to that. Like it's what that's going to do for you socially, and I guess mentally. I don't know what the word is, like to your self-confidence. But again, that's not, you can't like lose weight and then somehow look better and stand in a room by yourself and it's going to do anything. It still comes down to how other people react to you.
Yeah, and I think it's how you react yourself too. That's a good point, because, I mean, false expectations maybe. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're sitting down, no one's around, just lift your shirt up and take a peek at your stomach, right? And probably what's going to go through your head is like, yeah, I wouldn't mind losing a little bit of fat in my stomach. I want to be a bit leaner. And the news for you is that a person with, you know, what you perceive to be amazing six-pack abs, if they did the exact same thing, the thing going through their head is probably, you know, not bad. I probably, you know, wouldn't mind losing a bit more fat. I think it's this misconception that there's this giant amount of happiness that comes with being lean, that six-pack abs are, you know, the end-all, the be-all of happiness. And once you get them, everything will be okay. But the truth in the matter especially when it comes to abs, et cetera, is that they're largely a result of, you know, great lighting, a great photo, et cetera. And even people who you think have really sharp six-pack abs don't have them for 24 hours a day every single day. You know, they're always kind of there, right? Like a lean person is a lean person. Sometimes they're blurry, sometimes they're not. But they don't mean the instant happiness that I think a lot of people are striving for when they're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing, I guess, or convoluted. It's like this thought goes through my head every time I'm in the gym, and I see people in the cardio room, like it just looks so painful and so like, you said it best, hopelessly active, like it's people are training. It seems to be so hard, and they're in there every day, and they look the same like month after month after month. And it's like a desperate look on their faces. And I'm like, what is it that you want so badly that you'll come in here and you just look miserable? Like it, you just, like you're in pain.
Yeah.
Like you're just, there's no way you're actually enjoying. It's not like anyone's in there with a big grin on their face and they're laughing and having fun. It's not like kids playing. It's not like when you were a kid and you went out and we just played road hockey for like 4 hours and loved every minute out of it. Even though it was like a really good workout, we weren't thinking that. We weren't slaving away. Like we couldn't wait. Like we were upset when the sun went down and we're like, damn it, we can't play anymore.
I'm going to get a hat trick and get shredded. That wasn't really the goal, right?
Like, yeah, we never thought that. We were just playing.
No,
we were just playing and it was good for us.
And that's like another misconception too, is in terms of when people are in the gym, is your goals oftentimes, believe it or not, and this is kind of a horrible thing to say, but your goals are determined for you by marketing. You know, you read fitness blogs, you read bodybuilding blogs, and so all of a sudden the hype and the words are so creative that you go from wanting to look better to then wanting to be great conditioned to then wanting to be functional, right? And so you end up in the gym, you know, on two boxes of balls doing double split reverse flips, you know, to improve your conditioning and core stability when all you really wanted was to look better. So now you're actually exerting yourself and spending time working on something that's been marketed to you as your goal, you know, but really never was your goal in the first place. And it's, I mean, it's not just the whatever the things I just listed were, but it happens a lot of times because you could make anything sound awesome or manly or sexy to, as a goal. And if you market it properly, people can actually make you change your mind or misperceive what your actual goals are. And that happens so much in the gym is people are just working towards the oddest goals, right? Whereas people who want to get in to lose weight, to feel good and look good, but they've turned that into trying to complete a marathon. When you're like, well, that's an amazing goal and obviously an amazing accomplishment. But if your goal was to lose weight and look better, why are you now training and hydrating and carving up to perform better for a marathon run? You're mixing signals.
And that's a good point, the difference between performance goals and a look goal or a body composition, I guess performance versus body composition goal.
Yeah.
One doesn't have anything to do with the other. You can be 20 pounds or 30 pounds above the weight you want to be, but still be able to perform all kinds of different, you know, tasks. Like you can run 10K, but not lose the 20 pounds you're trying to lose. Nope. You can get really good at running without losing weight.
And I know it's really fun to market the idea of all but form and function and, you know, a great conditioned body is a great looking body. And it's really timely we're talking about this with the Olympics being on, Winter Olympics, you can't really see the bodies. But common misconception that every single athlete out there has got, you know, shredded six-pack abs. You know, when really they don't. They're lean. They're probably leaner than – well, they're obviously leaner than the average person. They're probably leaner than some athletes. But they're not bodybuilder fitness model shredded because they don't have to be, right? So form and function melding together and that whole a great conditioned body will be a great looking body. Well, yes and no, right? You don't have to train like a Winter Olympics, a bobsled person to feel great about the way you look, right? They can be mutually exclusive.
Totally. And I think they get marketed. I think marketers bounce into the training for, performance or some other functional goal because they recognize that they can't really, the nuts and bolts of weight loss, like in looking better, so much of it rests on your shoulders to actually get it done, like get the work done, that it's hard for somebody to market that, especially if you're not going to make it. Like most of those marketers know a lot of you aren't going to make it. They just know that a lot of the people they're marketing to just aren't going to get to the body look that they want. So it's easier for them to shift gears and market something you can do. Like it's way easier for me to train, you know, I can put a program together that'll have you running 10K in under a certain number of minutes. And you can do it. You can get there way easier than getting you to lose 20 pounds because the running under a certain time frame, that's purely just an adaptation to training. You don't actually need to lose any weight to become a better runner. For you to lose weight, you need to overhaul your lifestyle. You need to change the way you eat. You need to reevaluate like your habits on how you go about like eating socially, who you hang around with, like how do you like all of that stuff that goes into like revamping your like eating patterns is what will actually change your body fat levels. But And I can't, how the hell do I control that? Like, I can't sell you something or market you something to do all of those things. I can easily get you to run 10K quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's, I think most of it just comes down to timing and then having a unique product and being able to market it. And there's nothing really unique about a weight loss product when you tell people to eat less, which is, of course, how I'm trying to make a living. So that was ridiculous to say. But
you couldn't have come up with a worse idea.
No, really couldn't have. I mean, to tell you guys a good story, it's when I first said that I wanted to take my research and write a book about it, and it would be a book about the benefits of fasting. Even my advisor looked at me and he was like, well, what are you going to sell? That's kind of silly, right? So, but it's true. I mean, the simplicity of weight loss doesn't lend itself well to be a lucrative investment, but some sort of unique, crazy training style, if you time it right, can be incredibly marketable. I mean, I'm just keep using the Winter Olympics as, you know, if you took and Canada, unfortunately, it's not doing as well in the Olympics as we'd like to, but if we had a highly marketable person in Canada win gold, and I had access to that person and could do the, you know, their Olympic workout and sell it online for this little period of time and maybe a month afterwards, marketed properly. And if I could convince you that your goal was to actually look like that person, I would probably make a lot of money just doing that by convincing you that that was your goal. Even though it wasn't your goal when you started reading my article, if I could convince you it was, then I could probably sell that book just based on the timeliness of it, but not because it actually met your goals, just because it sounded like it did, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, this comes back to like the question that it seems like the simplest question to answer, but like almost nobody can answer it. And it's, if you just ask somebody, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
Just in life.
Yeah.
Or like you ask a university student, well, what do you want to do? Or you ask somebody who's, you know, got a job, is like, well, what else would you rather do? Or what do you want? And most people can't actually answer what they want. They just know what they don't want. So when it comes to your body, your goal can be so like nebulous. It can be anywhere but here. It's like, what do you want? I don't know. I just don't want to be here. Well, that doesn't really help. And that also leaves you like really open to being preyed upon by marketers who are like, oh, really? Well, I know what you want. Of course you don't want to be there. You want to be, and obviously wherever they're selling you, that's where you want to be.
Yeah. And then I think the lastly point is, we should just start over. We're just butchering English language here.
You make up words.
Yeah, that's true. One of the points I wanted to make is that, and I've read this somewhere, is that what you say you want doesn't actually properly convey what you think you want. They're actually separated because you've melded common concepts together with imagery, right? So you can explain to someone else what you feel you want by sort of relying on common things that they may understand. So what you're saying is, you know, I want to be happy and confident. And the way to translate that to someone else is be like, I want to lose weight and look really good, because they'll get what you mean. But then you sort of actually start convincing yourself that that's what you want.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it comes down to like the mores too, like what's a socially acceptable way of saying things and what isn't. Like if, you know, I'll take a crack at this. I think most people want to lose weight. I'm doing air quotes here, or get in shape, also in air quotes, for the sake of getting more attention and more attention directed at them by the people they want it from. Now I'm not going to get into, you know, where that attention need is rooted, but we all in general, like, we're social beings, right? We just want attention from other people. I mean, we'd really suck if you're the only person on earth. So assuming we're just going to all agree that we all enjoy attention from other people, I think people just think getting in shape, quote, in shape, losing weight, whatever it is, looking better, is going to get them the attention they want. And not just the attention, but the attention from the people they want to get the attention from.
So if what you're saying is that if it was absolutely impossible for anybody to ever see you,
we'd all be 1,000 pounds. Yeah, we'd be the biggest people on earth.
Because you wouldn't bother. It's especially with the fact that, well, and everybody's like, no, it's a health issue. But if you think about it, being overweight or obese definitely is not healthy. And being largely overweight is also not healthy. But that range between being smooth and a couple rolls here or there and six-pack abs, that range Actually, there's not that much research to say that you're any more healthy when you're walking around with veins popping out of your shoulders than you are if, you know, you're carrying an extra 2 or 3 pounds around your waist. So if it's not about health, and no one's ever going to see you, so no one's there to compliment you on what you've done, so you don't get that attention. Yeah, I could see that. I could see what you mean, that you know, you probably wouldn't bother with it. But then that raises a question, right? When we're looking at and I think a lot of people who work in the fitness industry and nutrition industry, et cetera, have maybe done this. But when you're walking down the street in some downtown metropolis and you see a very overweight person and you know, you kind of get on your little soapbox and you're like, how can they live with themselves? The answer might be just, well, quite nicely, thank you. I live with myself just fine, right? Because if it's not their goal to lose weight, if they don't care for that attention, right, then I think it's just more us pushing our mores on them. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You said it. I was going to say you're just projecting what you like and don't like, and assuming that they have the same thought. Now, I mean, who knows? We can't make that assumption. We just have to go on. I mean, I think we would assume, most people would assume, that unless you're completely sociopathic, a lot of the things that we all find interesting or attractive and not attractive is what a lot of other people find similarly attractive. Mm-hmm. That's borne out in the research.
But you can kind of show that from the Adonis research. Is it?
Well, yeah, there's research to explain that people from all different societies have more or less the same visions of what they think is attractive in the male and female body, respectively.
Right.
So that's a fair assumption.
Which is actually funny. That's contrary to the common belief. Everybody kind of thinks that everybody views beauty to be differently.
BS. Beauty's not in the eye of the beholder. Beauty's like right there in front
of
you.
Well, it's actually fairly mathematically determined too, right? So yeah. Across cultures and actually timelines as well. So that would be true. It's that, yeah, regardless of where you're from and who you are, within certain, you know, basic confines, yeah, we're going to view beauty very similarly.
Right. And then from there, like it has ranges from one society to another based on socioeconomic status of what slightly bigger or slightly smaller from a baseline point. If you show images of a woman's body to guys from different countries, and they'll, depending on their socioeconomic background and kind of the financial stability of their country, they're gonna view a woman slightly curvier or slightly less curvier as more attractive, but based on where the guy's from. But the difference we're talking isn't much. We're an inch or two. We're not talking like massive differences.
Right.
So even though there is some range to it, it's still pretty tightly regulated.
Yeah. All right. Now, since we've done a bit of, you know, it's almost could be perceived as bashing the wanting of to be lean, et cetera, there is a beneficial side, which is that regardless of what your goal is, just having a goal is beneficial in life. Right. We could say that. So there's nothing wrong with wanting six-pack abs. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight. It's just trying to understand why it's your goal and making sure that it's the right goal. So if you do eventually hit it, you actually are going to be happy.
Yeah. Well, and I think, okay, so we've done a lot of the, like, thought experiment stuff. And, like, you know, if no one could see you and you couldn't see anyone else, would you bother even losing weight? And you know, and if
tree falls in the woods, and anybody hear it, that kind of thing.
Right. Like some of these thought experiments, like if you were the only person on earth, would you like actually try to stay in shape? And okay, great. But since none of that actually happens, and we live in a world where, you know, people do notice each other and that people do get attention. So what's, you know, where are we getting to in that kind of world? And then that's when we get to this sort of what, you know, what I think is it all converges to there is a look that might be healthier. There is a look. There's a look you can pin to health. There's an actual shape and size you can pin to it. And when I say health, I don't just mean like measurable parameters of like, you know, blood lipids and heart, blood pressure and, you know, mm-hmm. risk of heart disease and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about overall, like, you know, are you living a vigorous life? Are you actually enjoying your life? Like that kind of thing. And I think that's where it comes to. And I think that's why, I mean, clearly there's a ridiculously large industry that revolves around weight loss, at least for countries where we have, live in abundance.
Well, I mean,
so obviously we're driven to it for some reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
and it's consistent from person to person.
If you look at just basic definitions on a very broad scope, if you're following a diet pattern to lose weight with the sole goal of losing weight, and that diet habit makes you actually completely unhappy and you're not enjoying life. I mean, to me, that's your classic definition of disordered eating, right? If, mm-hmm. if you're just doing it just for the sake of losing weight and you're hating every minute of it, if it's interfering with your life and not enjoying it, then you really have to look at your goals. Like,
how you're trying to get to it.
Exactly.
How backwards is that?
Yeah.
You're trying to lose weight in an effort to get attention so you'll actually be maybe happier and more confident, but the path to trying to lose weight is making you miserable.
Yeah, well, didn't we talk about this in the last call? The whole concept in fitness that seems to be really prevalent is forsake any enjoyment of today for the immense enjoyment you're going to have 2 months down the line when you're lean and happy. Like, it's the weirdest concept where you're giving up happiness for months on end because the discipline that you're showing by giving up that happiness will allow you happiness later. It's a very odd paradigm that we work under with fitness. I'm not saying, again, anything wrong with fitness. You know, I'm a dieting muscle guy junkie, but the point of it is if you can do it and make it enjoyable and still, you know, love your life, then you're on the right track. But if it's actually getting in the way or you're miserable because of it, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I think we just got to go back to being like approximately 11 or 12 years old. Like back then you exercised because it was fun, not because you even knew what exercise was. And then you ate because it was fun. And you didn't worry about nutrition. You didn't know what the hell the word nutrition even meant or what a carb was or a protein was.
Interesting. I wonder with just on how obsessive compulsive we're getting about nutrition right now, I wonder if it's the same for 10 or 11-year-olds right now. Or I wonder if they're, you know...
Oh, dude. Don't you remember from that FDA lecture when the one lecturer was talking about actually trying to educate kids on how to read labels. They were actually trying to create obsessive compulsive eaters out of kids for them to actually know the difference between carbs and protein and fat on a label.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the worst thing you could – I actually think labels should go the reverse direction and get down to just calories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like get rid of all that other stuff, trans fat. Like that's – you don't need that stuff.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean the main thing you do is I would get rid of – yeah, I mean we're completely off topic now, but really quickly – Get the supplement facts panel or nutrition facts panel to just be calories, but then increase the font of the actual ingredient list from, you know, font 3 up to font something actually legible and make sure that all the ingredients there are their common names, because that's a trick we often use is use the more mechanical sounding or not medicinal, chemical sounding names to kind of avoid you from knowing what they are. And if you don't know what they are, they should be classified. So you know right away why they're in there and what they're doing. But whole other talk we can hit on. But just in terms of, well, no, we can tie it in. I mean, in terms of your goals, you know, why are you obsessing with what you're eating and how does that fit into your goal? So if your goal is health, and we already covered how loose of a definition that is, right? Or if your goal is weight loss, those things, two things are, well, they're different, you know.
They're mutually exclusive.
Yeah. You know, and within the range of, you know, if you exclude the idea of going from obese to getting back down to around average, you know, going from average to super lean, we're not talking massive health changes there, right? Like you don't win awards from the health people for being shredded on the beach, right? Like you win awards from not having a gut, right? So careful how much you obsess about that sort of stuff. If your goal is health, and if your goal is weight loss, careful how much you're eating in the name of health if what you're trying to do is lose weight.
Oh, and that's a huge, that's a massive disconnect, is the concept of eating healthy versus eating for weight loss. Weight loss is, well, again, the word health means nothing, but when you purchase or buy or eat foods that you think are healthy or that you think are healthier than another food. Like if you have some spectrum, and we all do to some degree, we have, I guess, best to worst list in our head of what we think are, well, something, some foods must be healthier than others. Some foods must be somehow better for us than others. Mm-hmm. And if you're eating more on the better for me side of the list than on the worst for me side of the list, whatever your list is, that is irrelevant to weight loss. If you're overeating any of them, it's going to get you nowhere as far as losing weight. Yeah. Like you, as long as you're eating less calories, every one of those calories can come from Oreo cookies if you want them to, as long as they're less. So, I mean, now with that said, that's probably an unsustainable way to do it because you get sick of them super fast. But the point is, it gets the, this is where you get like tangled. This is where your goal gets shoved around by a marketer or some other company, because they kind of sway you into, well, weight loss isn't it? Weight loss eating healthy is it? And weight loss eating organic and weight loss eating our organic and our natural healthy food choices. Yeah. And like do it the right way. And then the right way always happens to be some marketer's way, not your way.
Yeah. So a good reason to eat organic foods is because you believe in organic foods. A not so good reason is to eat organic foods and pay the extra money for organic foods just because you're trying to lose weight. So that's what John and I are trying to get at. The other point is too is that they're mutually exclusive definitions, but you can do both at the same time. So you can eat less, which is eating for weight loss, and making what you perceive, what you believe to be healthy weight, healthy food
choices.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. But so we're not saying you can't do both at the same time, but we're saying the two goals are actually, they're just different goals.
Yeah. Well, I guess what we're trying to tell you is don't let anyone tell you that there's only one way to achieve weight loss.
Yeah.
And don't definitely don't believe that there's one magical food formula or eating formula for it. The formula is painfully simple. It's just less calories.
Yeah.
But the selection of calories that you can do that with are completely up to you. And I would argue it's got to be the ones that you're happier with. Because like Brad said, forsaking the present for the future is again, what's your goal?
Yeah.
Is your goal to actually live a miserable life for five months or however many months? Because if that's your goal, then by all means, follow the most complex, restrictive plan you can find. It'll surely make you miserable. But I think some people actually believe it has to be painful.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I know from our days back in bodybuilding that it was, to be disciplined, you had to be walking around the office looking like you're about to die because, you're on a hardcore diet because you were getting lean. Right. And if you weren't, you were, something was wrong with you. I can remember, I won't name names, but we worked with a guy, you remember Freaky Freddy?
Oh, yeah.
So this guy, Freaky Freddy, was in a bodybuilding contest and all the other contestants used a mesh. And this guy was just, naturally, had some good genetics and had a good build on him. Right. So to mess with him, these guys would like, buy a box of donuts and leave like a Boston cream donut sitting on his desk.
Oh, I used to.
His friend would just look at them and take the donut and eat it. Because he's like, dude, it doesn't have to be that hard. And sure enough, he'd kill them in the contest, right? But it just goes to show these guys who were, convinced that dieting for a show had to be this impossible disciplined task were like, thinking they were teasing this guy by throwing donuts on his desk and he just eat them. Right, because he knew he's like it's like 200 calories. It's not a big deal. I can handle this. And it's a perfect example though of these guys are, it's this disciplined life where they don't even want to. They'd make jokes about how they couldn't even smell the donut when they're rushing it to his desk and trying to keep it away from. Them. They couldn't look at it, and so they're living this life of like self denial. And then Fred just walks in, eats it, and he's like, awesome, right?
So and he still looks better than them.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't have to be that way, but it seems that people like to wear their self-denial with as a badge of honor.
The woe is me, like look how difficult my life is stuff. And I don't know. I think people just want to put a mountain in front of themselves so they've got something to climb and then they can point to everybody saying, hey, look at me climb this mountain.
Yeah.
So it's, and then it makes you feel silly when the next person over is doing it and they don't find it anywhere near as, quote, painful.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this is where the balancing comes in, though. I guess as John and I are sort of riffing on the idea of it being highly disciplined and tons of self-denial, it can't be the complete opposite, right? You can't just order a large pizza every single night and be like, ah, it's okay, right? Because, there has to be some sort of goal and then some sort of common sense movement towards that goal. Just now I'm going to use all kinds of words over and over again. The goal should be to make reaching the goal as simple as possible. Right, so you shouldn't have to make it this complicated. So it doesn't mean you have to just ignore it completely and just, be mindless in everything you do. It should be you find a goal and then you quickly and logically try to deduce the simplest, easiest way to get there while keeping you happy.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess within, so you talked about making, I mean, but you still didn't talk about the actual goal. You're talking about the secondary goal of making, getting to the first goal.
Yeah.
Simpler. Man, this is getting confusing.
Yeah, I'm lost.
So getting back to the concept of weight loss is where we started.
Yeah.
Be honest with yourself, right? Like, I mean, that's what our kind of, my, at least my body shaping exercise philosophy kind of landed on, is that we're all training to look better, and then health is a side effect of the look, which is perfectly fine. I mean, if this is the one time vanity serves us well, then good for us.
It could even be the opposite. Yeah, it could be people who are literally trying to get healthier because, you know, they've been diagnosed or been told it's probably a good idea, and looking better is a side effect, but regardless, two mutual goals, right?
Okay, well, let's say it the other way around then. I've never heard of or seen a diet or exercise program or a set of body measurements or any kind of measurable statistics that show a heavier or less aesthetically pleasing body. Is that politically correct? Is actually healthier than the one that looks better. Like, I can't think of...
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I can't think of a diet or exercise program that actually makes you look... that makes you actually measurably healthier, like, you know, blood levels and all this stuff, but makes you look worse. Like, that's... like, put it... let me say it the
other
way.
I'd be curious if you created that, if anyone would ever do it.
No one would do it. No one would do it. It's kind of like, remember when we were at MT and we asked, would you trade in 10 years of your life if you had a set of six-pack abs right up till the day you died? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's longevity is not it. You know, health, so to speak, I don't think is it. I think it's the look. But the look isn't just, I don't believe it's as superficial as a look. I think it's all the other things we think come with the look. And that is some sense of contentment, some sense of, you know, attention and community we'll have from other people, feeling good about yourself, also assuming that that look is also hand in hand with being healthy. Like, it's, you know, I think we can all agree that most people would assume looking good is also a healthy look. And that I don't think, if we do the thought experiment, I don't think we can picture looking unhealthy but being measurably healthy.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been lots of arguments around this in terms of, you know, can you be healthy fat, right? Or, you know, in fat and end shape or whatever it is. But I mean, depending what parameters you measure, but generally the answer is long term, no, not really.
No, and then I would add on top of that, and that no that you just gave, not really, is probably the physiologically measurable one. So like I said, like blood lipids, you know, blood pressure, like risk for disease. The other thing is mentally and emotionally, like, are you happy with yourself or not? And then if even though you might be heavier, but some of your measurable things all look healthy, but you still just don't like the way you look, well, then I wouldn't say you're there yet. I think you still might want to do something.
Yeah. But bottom line is you have to make sure you know what your goals are and not what goals are being marketed to, right? So, I mean, we've been doing a lot of like weight and health and back and forth. But then if you add in the other metrics that are thrown at you, like having a great bench press or being able to run 5K and all these things and how they fit in, you just have to make sure they're not actually taking you away from your goal or actually, you know, making you do a 180 and actually go, you know, the opposite direction.
Yeah. And I mean, and have you got yourself caught up into chasing a goal because it's a community to fit in with? Like,
totally,
I know,
true. Yeah.
I mean, lots of people I know do that. They become, you know, they go to the gym because they had, you know, I think at first a lot of people have a goal that they're pretty clear with. And then over time it just gets faded into something else and they kind of get lost in the woods. Like, you know, I've got friends who went to the gym and then ended up, you know, years later they became powerlifters, but they weren't, it was like really never their starting goal for going to the gym.
Yep.
And then like years later, they're powerlifting, but they're all like injured and they've got chronic nagging injuries and they're all busted up. But then it becomes their identity. And then the powerlifting and how difficult it is becomes like their scars of testimony. And they're, you know, the more the guy hurts, but the more he pushes, the more of a man he is or something. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Was this your goal when you started working out like all those years ago?
Well, and you see that not just with powerlifting, but almost anything. It becomes you start working out, that's your identity. And then that's no longer an identity because you realize the wide scope of different people who work out. So then you go towards MMA or powerlifting, or you go towards rock climbing,
functional training, or something,
right? But you're constantly trying to, you know, find your identity in the gym. And since your identity and your goals in life are so closely interlinked, you know, if you get caught up in trying to find your identity and you sort of randomly pick one, it can drastically affect your goals. I mean, you cannot be – I'm making a pretty blanketing statement here. It would be difficult to fit in with the powerlifting crowd as I understand them and really want to be shredded. They don't – they seem to be kind of
– Yeah, they're incongruent.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it, or similarly, I think it would be, you know, there's lots of examples of that where just your goals can be shifted by you trying to create an identity through your fitness and nutrition.
Right. So I guess how does this all fit together?
I think it all just fits together with the simple fact that it's obviously important to have goals, and it's to make sure that those goals, the way you're expressing them, are actually what your goals are, and then to make sure that your attempt to reach those goals isn't in for sake of actually enjoying life.
Right.
And that, and what then, really falls apart there is that when you start picking the marketed goal towards you, then you're not going to be able to enjoy your life to its fullest because you're actually moving towards the wrong goal. You've been convinced to switch things towards something you're not actually that interested in.
Right. And then I guess the little bit of self-work here, the uncomfortable part of this is facing yourself a little bit and admitting to yourself, You know, you have to admit the truth to yourself if you can and be like, wait a minute, is the situation I've got myself in and what I'm doing with my, you know, at least for this talk, what you're doing with your body from nutrition and a training standpoint, is this really what I want or is this an identity I've kind of latched onto and then I'm actually afraid to give up because like, I don't know exactly who I am if I give this identity up or, you know, was it a goal you had a long time ago and you lost it along the way? And, you know, it's okay to do a reevaluation. People aren't going the fear of changing your mind like that is, you know, rooted in, are people going to view me as inconsistent or not my word not being of value or a hypocrite? But that's never going to happen. You can redefine your goals anytime you want. And just be aware that if you're afraid of, you know, maybe leaving a community you've found yourself in for fear of looking like a hypocrite, well, those same people who watched you get into that community and knew it wasn't for you, they already know you shouldn't be there in the first place.
Yeah.
If you're somewhere where you determine, oh my God, how did I end up here? I don't even want to be here. Don't be afraid to change it.
No.
I mean, just be honest with yourself that the goal you're chasing is actually yours and not like anybody else.
Yeah. And I think the last point is that a lot of our life goals manifest in health and fitness. It's one of the rare things we can actually easily control. I mean, using easily, if I could air quote it, I would, but easily control. So, I mean,
you can go ahead and air quote it.
Absolutely. Having six-pack abs doesn't change the fact you're going to still hate your job. And if you hate your job now and you get lean, you're probably still going to hate your job. So that's the other thing you have to look for, is if you're looking for happiness and meaning through workouts, because that's what you control, you know, it might not change the other parts of your life that you're still not thrilled with.
Right.
Perfect. All right. I think we've rambled enough for this call.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. All right. So for Brad Peel and I'm John Barbin, and that was your Phi Life podcast.